All right. Here it is, podcast. March 7th, 2022. Of course, it is another Motorhead Monday. Excuse me. I'm just going to feature some songs from people who've done Motorhead songs.
Do we have Motorhead covers?
That's right, Motorhead covers. This is a girl school doing Bomber. Just fitting for the war in Ukraine right now.
Oh, yeah.
Luzinski is, you know, definitely fighting for the no-fly zone.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah, and NATO's pretty much just going, yeah, whatever. We don't care.
Well, I don't know. I don't know enough about what NATO's doing.
It yeah.
seems like they're doing something, but it's you also kind of want to... I'm wondering if he's just at this point and be like, oh, we're going to get to Ukraine and Moldova and Estonia and Latvia, and
right.
we're just going to keep on going, and if you guys stop us, it's an act of war, and, you know, and he's
right.
sitting on a pile of nukes at 70-something years old.
Yeah,
a KGB guy, and maybe he'll just be like, fuck it.
We don't have key.
I draw a nuke.
No, nobody can find a key.
Yeah, the only hope is that some of the people who are in charge of actually launching it would be like, yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, I can't do it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it.
Which is a lot to hinge eternal consequences over, because I mean,
right.
if one place gets nuked, I'm like, fuck.
It's on. You know, I mean, the door is open then.
Yeah, yeah, you know, pretty because much. Then it's going to be like, you know, we're going to start justifying, it's like, well, the U.S. had to drop those bombs on, you know, Hiroshima and Nagasaki, so, you know, that's why, you know, sometimes people get, and they'll just get normalized, and then
yeah.
we'll actually end up living in the Fallout universe.
That's yeah,
second.
Which is going to be terrible.
Well.
Let's hope not. I'm always praying for no nuclear war.
Yeah.
Please.
None in general would be nice, but I understand that that's not going to happen for eons. However, the nuclear part, we can just skip that.
Just skip that.
Yeah.
I prefer just a conventional style war is fine with me. I mean, I'm not saying war is great, you know, but...
Save the nukes for shooting meteors out of space that are going to destroy the planet.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
That's their use.
Let's see, with the war in Ukraine, I'm starting to find that, you know, I think Americans are starting to fall off from it, you know, and they're like, okay,
well,
it's been a week, and it's been a week, so that's about the attention span of the American people, like, yeah, just take my flag down here and get that off Facebook, and...
There is definitely an attention span fucking issue now. People have about 3 seconds to pay attention to something, and it's all it's part to do with the internet existing, and then social media too,
yeah.
and everything's so just fucking in your face all the time. You're getting 100 different things thrown at you because all these competing companies are like, look at me for a second.
Yeah.
So then you just get burnt out, and then you move on to the next thing, and people have just kind of gotten used to that. It's not healthy for society. I don't think it's good not to have have a 2 second attention span. That's not really gonna absorb a lot of information.
Yeah,
but I think it's that, and then a little bit of people getting burnt out on it, because it's not gonna be over tomorrow.
No,
you know, and there's only so much that you can watch before it's like, yep, it's still going,
still going. They said, like, I guess Putin's got a convoy sitting somewhere outside of Kiev.
Yeah.
And he hasn't moved it yet. Like, they don't know what he's doing. They think maybe he's waiting on more forces. Or maybe they're just out of gas.
Could be. Could be waiting on a refuel.
Yeah.
But, you know, if they're still sitting out there, then... I mean, it's... Yeah, I've heard that maybe he's planning another, like, wave, like, invasion to try to take the
capital.
Capital.
And yeah.
Hold it.
But they say he's bombing civilian targets now.
Yeah,
that he's taking in civilian targets, which is, you know, unnecessary. You know, we know that there's collateral damage inside of war, but
that's purposeful.
That's purposeful. Which, you know, everybody's hollering war crimes right now. Which, I would say, I'd say, yeah, for sure. Sorry, I got a little congestion going on there today.
It's like, I don't even know how much to talk about either. So many dipshitted takes about it, and everything. I'm like, this is all about, you know, imperialism, U.S. imperialism. And I'm like, no.
Right.
I'm like, Russians pretty hyper-capitalist and fucking seems to be wanting their imperial regime. So right. if it's anyone, it's probably Russia.
It's probably Russia.
And then the other side of it where it's like, oh, yeah.
I forget who I was watching, but they were talking about, oh, look, you know, it's wrong for another, you know, small, you know, for a bigger country to invade a smaller country.
It's not just about the territorial size. Yeah. It's about the entire idea of invading another country.
Right. But I'm like, we've done that.
Yeah, we have.
We've done that.
Sure have.
You know, in the name of, freedom.
Yeah, and it started a 20-year war over that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so then, it's, you know, that's something that we've talked about a fair bit, and it's something that, you know, a lot of people are in support of, because it's like, I don't want to be the world police anymore, and then just installing these puppet dictatorships to try to fucking,
right.
you know, get our foothold in different areas right. of the country
and
different, you know, continents.
Right. And if anybody knows anything about the Ukraine, it's like the third most corrupt country in the world.
It's not the least corrupt. And it doesn't make what Russia's doing anymore.
No, right. It doesn't make it any more better. But, you know, and I keep kind of listening to, like, you know, the talking heads on the on the news. And they're all like, you know, it's, you know, over there fighting for their democracy and their freedom. I'm like, they're really not that free over there, you know?
They were definitely a lot better off.
They were a lot better off. I'm not going to argue that point.
Yeah.
They're more of an oligarchy, I think, would be kind of...
bordering on it. I would still say, you know, Russia is more corrupt than the Ukraine is. And has, you know, access to more things than the Ukraine does, right. making them more threatening, and, you know, to other people other than the Ukraine. But yeah, no, not the least corrupt place in the world sure.
No, I'm not saying we ain't got our fair share of corruption.
Yeah, we do as well.
So none of us. That's the problem. I think it really kind of got going on right now. Kind of like things that like, go through my head are like, God, who are you listening to? Where there's no trust out there anymore in any kind of news source, I don't feel like anymore. You know?
All you have to do is just fucking pain in the ass because it takes longer. You have to like separate what their personal opinion is, because I mean everyone has a bias, but these things are so woven into the information that's out there that you almost have to like wait until they actually make this factual statement. And then just jot that down.
And jot that down, right.
And then by the time you get to the end of a 30-minute, you know, program that they have, because this is their job, by the time you get to an end of a 30-minute program, you have three pieces of information you can take out of that.
Right.
So it's like, oh, man, I've watched all this content. Most of it is essentially just filler. Because, I mean, you have to have, like, if you're going to have a news program or a lot of, like, independent media, you have to put content out.
Right.
Every day. And otherwise, then, people aren't going to...
People aren't going to be watching. Yeah. And then I always find even with the, you know, the independent people, you know, it becomes very much opinion-based, you know.
Well, that's what most of it is, right? The only ones that aren't just, like, journalists that probably work for a publication and have a channel.
Yeah, I mean, Tim Pool tries his best to report the news, but then he still has
He gets just as...
And he gets opinionated too, you know. I mean, he still, you know, puts his
there's
you know,
nothing
two
different
cents in,
between any of them.
And his IRL podcast is really more of just him just sitting around, you know, talking with other people about different things.
Yeah, it's more entertainment than it is news, and it's more opinion than it is anything. So if you want to separate the factual statements from it, you can.
Yeah.
It's exhausting because it's like you watch the whole fucking thing to get, like I said, like, you know, a couple pieces out of it, and then you can take that and be like, okay, this is what's going on. That's why it's like, I like watching some of the infotainment, you call it, stuff, because it is, obviously, like, performative shit, you know, like comedy. I like doing, you know, podcast stuff.
Yeah.
So I watch that from the eyes of somebody who likes doing stuff like that to see how... They're like, oh, that's cool that they did that. Or like, oh, yeah, I like that bit. That was a good bit.
Yeah.
And shit like that. You can just look at it like a show. But then it's like when I actually want information, I'm like, fuck, this is so much harder. It's like, I just need the information so then I can take that, let's swirl around my fucking head. and try to sort that shit all out, you know, based on my experiences and my opinions on things and
I think Crowder probably does the best of a kind of a mix of entertainment and facts, you know?
Yeah, well, he's been, I think that's due to how long he's been doing it. I think people forget how long he's been into doing
political commentary. And when did he start? He started out on Fox, didn't he? Wasn't he on Fox or something for a while? Like, he was a contributor
I don't know
on
if that's
Fox?
Where he started or if there was...
or he was selling pieces to Fox or some shit, you know?
Well, because I've seen some old videos where it was like... starting off YouTuber type shit. Yeah. His quality was lacking, but hey, you know, it was a long time ago. So yeah, I wonder if that was before Fox or not. Where he was just doing like when YouTube.
Well, I thought
was
he was doing it, doing like he was trying, and he was trying to pitch that whole change your mind thing to Fox, and they were like,
"Yeah, that's
no.
too risky for them." There's too much unscripted things
too much
going.
And they were like, "No, we're not going to do that." And then everybody kept telling him that wasn't going to work. Then I guess he took it on the road himself and set up at college campuses,
which is probably better. I mean, we see all these
kind of prove that it does work.
You see all these media organizations that like they feel like they have this fucking, they have all the rules set, like everything down is like, this is the parameters in which we do things because to us, this is what always works. And then times change, things change. So you have these new people along and they refuse to adapt. Right. So then, the best thing that these creators could do is just take their business elsewhere, which, as much as like hate YouTube for certain things that they do and they really are just kind of lacking in certain areas, authoritarian in others, it's like as much as it gave all these other people a platform to tell these like large organizations, hey, I'm going to go do my own thing now.
I can actually create content without you.
And you know what? It worked.
And it worked.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
And then all these like, major media organizations are kind of have been suffering in the ratings and one of these news publications like newspapers and stuff, which some of them, like, it is kind of sad to see that, like, that is kind of going by the wayside. But it's like, you got to adapt. Yeah. Like, that's the whole thing.
Mostly, and even like your legacy newspapers are pretty much online now.
Yeah, they're all online.
I can't remember the last time I actually, got a newspaper, to be honest with you.
And didn't just throw it away because it was all just coupons and fucking and your car warranties running out. It's junk mail.
Yeah.
Now it's all junk mail. That's the only mail you get.
I can't remember, I mean, back in the day, I used to I enjoyed growing up and there's the old local paper,
Yeah.
And started reading it. And then even when USA Today first came out, when you were able to actually it was they just started putting it everywhere, like next to your local news, boom, there was USA Today, box. And then I started reading that, which at that time it was very objective and reported pretty good news, Got a subscription to it.
Well, there was a time when CNN just reported that they were the boring ones.
Yeah.
And that was the one you knew you get the most information because it was boring as fuck.
Fuck, yeah.
And they're
here's
like...
Here's 2 hours of C-SPAN.
See, here's the other side of it. They're like, oh, we can adapt. We're gonna have these fucking dipshit infotainment people that can go out there, but at the same time, they need to be treated with the same respect that we treated the previous journalists. I'm like, you can't have both of those.
Right. Exactly.
Like, well, we're going to do both. Like, all right.
Yeah, we're going to do both. And I think even with, as long as media goes, even the shift in I guess you could say MTV and, a lot of reality TV too.
Yeah, I think that was a major down, that lowered the bar of our entire society and possibly the world.
It's like, here, we're going to show you the worst people in the world.
Yep.
which should have been a warning sign. Do not be like these people. But then everybody's like, no, that's fine.
I think it was, and that's the way some people thought it was going to be taken. But instead, we've kind of figured something out about people is that they just, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because they want to, there's some primal thing where you want to figure out where other people go wrong so you don't go wrong. But then it's almost to the point where it seems addictive for people.
Right.
Where it hit this note with people where they couldn't stop watching it even though it was bad.
Right.
And then they're like, oh, reality TV is great. but all these crazy things that attract people don't happen every episode. Well, what if we start staging it so that crazier things happen?
Yeah, that's how we do
crazier
it.
And crazier shit. Every episode is a crazier thing.
It's a crazier thing.
Oh, and I think that's when it became addictive for the people who were creating it, too, because then it's like, hey, man, aren't you going to run out of crazy shit at some point? Yeah. Then what are you going to do? It's like, well, then we just, you know, abandon that program. We start a new show and get people addicted to a new drug, you know, called Real Housewives. Mm. And we fucking... Yeah. Hammer that home until it doesn't work anymore.
Here's a batchload of rich Karens pissing everybody off across the world.
And now we're up to like 90 Day Fiancé and fucking shit like that. And it's still here. It's still around. And everybody is more demented because of it.
And The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. Think about how long that show is
those
actually.
Those shows are the worst. They're awful.
And in those shows, I never really. They're always just like some kind of. Platforms for like just crappy actresses and actors.
It's platforms for mouth breathers. It is. Like, and it generates an audience.
Just can't believe
such.
That, you know, he didn't get me the rose.
I forget what I was watching a comedian I was talking about. They had, he had a friend that was on The Bachelorette, and he's like, it's like they're all just. Like banging it out, hoping to get like a brand or like get a following after this, and it's just it's odd to watch that that aspect
trending
of it
on Instagram.
But he's talking about his friend. He's like, because he got kicked off early, and he was like crying at the end of it. I was like, dude, like
he's
like,
working it, huh?
Like, but I get it. You know, it's. Think you're gonna fucking make something out of it, and then it's all kind of staged.
I don't
know.
The whole thing
is kind of half-assed staged. So I don't.
I mean, I guess like the survival rate of that marriage that's been arranged through.
Weirdly enough, it's pretty
low.
Pretty low.
Pretty low. Yeah. Maybe they make it a year. Maybe they make it a year. Maybe they make it two.
Odd that it didn't work out.
It didn't really work out. You know.
Yeah. Strange. Strange. You really thought with the way that. The things that led up to said marriage, that it would you'd see them like 50 years old, there they are, just an old couple, and you're like, oh, that's nice.
That's nice.
Yeah.
They met on The Bachelor.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're still in love. They fell in love in 2 weeks.
That's how me and your dad met. And she turns and she looks, and it's just an empty room and a fistful of pills, and you're like, oh, yeah, that didn't happen.
What a shuck. But, yeah, you know, I think, like I said, the media is definitely taking a big turn, you know, even, you know, as far as, you know, political figures using it and how they operate on it now. You know, they know that it's, you know, they've taken, I guess, Trump's lead on, like, you know, hey, you know, let's get some clickbait out there. And
well,
say,
it's not even Trump's lead, but Trump had it figured out in 1976. That's why he still talks like
huge.
The same person.
I knew it was
going to
be huge
go
then.
On.
I told the guys who created the internet, I said, you're going to be huge.
Yeah.
You guys got an amazing thing here. We're going to go for it.
From what I've heard off camera, he's way different. Like, he knows exactly when... The camera is on him. He knows exactly when. That's when he turns up to. That's when he turns
that's when he
on
turned
the Trump that that you know on TV. But like when the camera's off, he's just
He's pretty straightforward and
He's just like he just kind of goes back to what he was doing. Like you know, it's more like if he saw me, he's like in the middle of work, like you know, we're in a business something like hey, you want a Diet Coke
Diet Coke for you
it's crazy what's going on
did you
he's
see
just like very
there?
Like he's not like overly you know bombast like he's not like as soon as cameras go off it's just like hey, yeah you want a oh what's this over here
it was
just,
like that
they said he I forget who it was I think it was it Sager or something like that he's on, I think he's on Breaking Points now but he interviewed Trump a few times and he'd say when the cameras would go off like, you do that, and then he's like, he would get distracted, like, we were talking, and then he'd, like, pick up these papers over here, he's like, what's this right here? And you start, like, reading the fucking papers that are on the desk, like, while we're in the middle of talking, like, in an interview.
This is interesting. It's totally distracting.
And he's like, that's why I knew that, like, he doesn't have, like, he's sitting at the Resolute desk, and he doesn't have, like him, like, he's like, I had to record the interview, so I, like, set my phone on the desk. I'm like, this is the desk. I'm fucking, it's fucking Resolute. I shouldn't be setting my phone on this.
Right.
What the fuck? It's like, and Trump is like, he's just in the moment the entire time. So he's like, I don't think he thought about any of the, like, history stuff around him just because he wasn't big on history. He's not like a historian or anything. He was just, like, in the moment the entire time.
Right.
That's the way he lives. That's the way he's lived since 1976.
Right.
And he's still kind of the same person as before.
Right.
Albeit older, you know.
Older.
But it's
very true.
I
haven't really seen him change that much. You know, of course, you know, I grew up with Trump, you know, when he first hit the airwaves.
Yeah, I saw him at Home Alone.
You know, and, you know, hit the airwaves and all that. And but I always found, too, like, you know, a lot of times.
But he was always, like, the business, the New York City business guy. Like, that's how I always thought of him.
Yeah, that's how I always felt. Like, oh, he's a real estate mogul, made a lot of money.
Basically, that's the only way I ever saw him. And then it's like you see little cameos, like Home Alone shit like that. It's like, oh, it's like nobody ever really.
He's got a golden toilet.
People knew who he was before this whole fucking thing started.
But even like when I seen him like in meetings, you know, obviously the meetings are recorded, but he's still very much kind of like, I don't understand. Why are we doing this? You know, can we continue? Should we continue doing this? No. No. Can we fix that? Can we fix that now?
What was he talking about? Was he talking about the meeting itself?
I was watching one where he was talking about opening up, you know, fishing in Maine because they closed down like 500,000 square miles of the Georgia banks.
Yeah.
And he's up there meeting with the fishermen and he's just like, what do you mean that Canada doesn't pay us tariffs? He goes, we pay tariffs to them when we import their fish, right? And the fishermen are like, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like, he's like, well, that doesn't make any sense. You know? And he looked at like the guy sitting next to him, he's like, we can fix that? He's like, and the guy's like, yeah.
Yeah.
And he goes, we'll fix it. You know?
And he didn't do everything right. And he is the person that he is. And you kind of know, you know, generally, like the type of person that he is, he's not going to care too much about the other people. It's just the idea that he's not working for the same cabal that we had been dealing with for the past 25 years.
30, maybe longer. Most likely longer. I think it may have started with Wilson.
So started with Calvin Coolidge. That's where it all started. That motherfucker. Get me started on him. No, it's
Hoovervilles.
But no, it's a I was gonna say.
Yeah,
it was
But even when he was at like the G7 or the NATO conference back when in 2019, and he goes, I don't understand. You know, Germany, you're asking for our protection from Russia, you're buying oil from.
Yeah,
it makes no sense to me. I don't understand. You know, you want us to protect. You know, you want us to protect you from the people that you're funding.
Yeah. I think, he definitely didn't, he did some shit wrong. And he definitely did some fucking shit.
Well, he just got so used to being able to say whatever he wanted to say.
He's just not white supremacist Hitler, and people couldn't get the fuck over that.
No.
And it's like, well, he gets platform these people. These people are obviously going to go with the people that aren't you.
Yeah.
So if you want to attach all that to him, you can.
And then he's been doing business for so long that, you know, they can't gig him on anything, really, because he's like, I just do it by the book, you know, pretty much. He's like, yeah, I've been through the ringer. I know not to do that again, you know.
He's self-absorbed. He's a celebrity. You knew what, but it's like that's how you can kind of get him to get shit done. Because if it's populist, if it's something he can go out there and fucking be like, look what I did.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the most professional thing. I guess with too many people with public and private opinions who sounded good when they were talking, like, oh, well, I'm really going to fix some shit, and then did none of it.
Did nothing.
So if you could trick this dude into fucking getting some shit done for, like, what was it that, it's not even trick him. He just had a big incentive to do it. It was the TPP, the U.S.-Mexico trade.
Working with Canada and Mexico and getting and coming to a trade agreement between both of us. So
objectively,
so all of us, so
objectively,
that we can actually trade more fairly across the board since we all kind of live in the same area.
If I had to say, I don't know, it was like the best they did, but I would say that's one of the best things they did. That's a big thing.
It's a good,
you know,
example.
That was something that actually got done.
Yeah.
So.
And he actually kept a lot of people, you know, like Putin really at bay, you know?
They did, but now that, you know, we are where we're at and I'm seeing it, it was like, I really think Putin would have done it anyway, even if he was president.
Oh, I think he would have definitely sooner or later made his move.
It was a bit rushed. I think he did it a little bit sooner. There was probably something where he saw an opportunity sooner rather than later, like within the few months. But I think he's been planning on doing this since
I think
Crimea.
It was getting to a point. He may have done it sooner, you know. But they kept saying, oh, he's going to attack on Wednesday. And he's like, no, I'm not going to attack on Wednesday, you dummies. Not now.
Yeah.
You know? So,
no, he's
but,
gonna,
there,
yeah.
but there was that.
No, he knows the difference.
You know, spring
does.
Was coming. Yeah. You know, spring was coming into that region, which is, it was going to turn into a big, giant, muddy mess. So
yes,
he needed
I'm
to get the troops. He needed to get all them troops
seasons.
And that armor.
That's why they tanked some of the tanks.
Tanks and get them up to the border. Before they get stuck.
Some of them get stuck in the mud, for sure.
You know, and you want to debilitate, you know, soldiers that their morale is already low. You really want to make it low? Go have them march through a bunch of fucking mud, you know, and rain.
Well, we're also talking about Russia. Russia's command structure is not the best. It's not like, you know.
Yeah.
It's not like what we got here, where there's no NCOs in fucking the Russian chain of command. It's like very little information. There's, you know, the officers that get information, and then it's like top down, and then it just stops at a certain point, and it's like, these are your orders, this is what you have to do. If you turn back, then it's like, yeah, you know,
it's jail,
yeah,
or death.
Kill you.
One of the two.
And that's part of the way that you keep people going with low morale, is that they don't have any access to information. They're just getting orders, and then they know if they turn back or if they fucking desert, then, you know, that's bad for them. So that's the aspect where it's like, you see all those videos of Russian soldiers that are voluntarily surrendering, because I think they started to figure out, like, oh, he's just going to leave us out here.
He's going to leave us here.
He doesn't care if we die or anything.
Thing, like, he's just throwing bodies at him.
Yeah. Like, when you're just sitting there for days, you know, no orders come down. When they do, it's just like, go here, blow this up, and fucking, you know, so that's it.
Does that mean we get to go home now? No. Yeah.
And then there's some of them that definitely do.
Only in a body bag for you, comrade.
Yeah. Some of them that do. Well, it's probably a lot of the ones that are targeting, like, the civilian targets and everything like that. So then there's
the psychological warfare. The psychological warfare on the citizens, you know. It was what he's creating, that, you know, look, he's bombing us. It's so hopeless, you know, and trying to run as many people out of the country.
Well, Ukraine is... And I don't, so the other aspect is, things are hard to tell what's propaganda and what's not, because there's going to be good propaganda, bad propaganda, because it's a war, and, you know, like, we had the same shit in World War II,
of course.
Like, the, you know, loose lips sink ships.
Yeah. He's watching.
Keep
like Jerry away.
Watch out for that Adolf Hitler. He's a bad egg. Supposedly they're trying to create incentives for Russian soldiers to voluntarily surrender, and then it's like, you know, you can stay here, or we'll give you money, or just, you know, just stop doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because then if you don't, then they're going to kill you.
You know, like, and the sad thing is, you know, is I definitely feel for the Ukrainian people that, you know.
It's always the people.
It's always the
most.
People who get affected the most because of some politicians who
really
sit around and go.
That's the shittiest part.
That's the shittiest part, you know, and that's the downfall of the human race. You know, we let these leaders, so-called leaders, you know, that we're hoping that are for us, and they end up not being for us. And what happens? We end up dead. And they go, sorry. Yeah, it happens. It's war.
Unfortunately, you know? The best... I had to think about this. I think the best, what would you call it, like the way your country is run, would be if everyone had a benevolent dictator. So someone that had control over every aspect of your life, but only ever had the best intentions for you and everyone else around.
Yeah.
Which is not... Zero people like that exist.
Yeah,
I'm just
no
saying,
such thing.
Given that situation... I think it's kind of crazy to think, like, that would probably be the best one, because even though I'm very individualistic, and I'm very, you know, is like, you know, kind of smaller federal government stuff like that, just because something like that doesn't exist, and there's, you know, maybe we can take steps towards that, and way later we can have it. But that's probably the best thing. It's a fucking benevolent dictator.
Here's the problem with that, though, is as human beings,
nobody out there will do it.
Human beings,
they don't
even
exist.
Even if it's great, let's just say that everything
find
is
me Bigfoot.
Fucking great out there in the world, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, this guy's just doing all kinds of things. No, there's no hunger. There's no nothing. But there's going to be some.
That.
There's
yeah,
going to be. There's
going to
be some kind
everywhere.
Of dissent. You know,
yes.
There'll be some kind of dissent
yep.
inside the human psyche. They're going like, he's fucking us. I'm telling
we're,
you,
we're conflict based. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, and you can just say, even it started like in the Bible. Here's Adam and Eve living in paradise, and God's just like, hey, you got everything you need. Everything's great. Just don't eat from that tree. And then the old devil sneaks on in there and says, hey, yo, he's hiding something from you.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't want you to know there's more. And what do we do as humans in our own little vanity? Hey, I'm going to eat that thing. Find out what it's all about. And then he's like, God's like, out. It's like I even told one of my cooks one day, like, you know, like the hardest meal to make in any restaurant situation is the staff meal.
Is it because they're the most picky, or what is it like? I mean, it's a free meal. It's a shift meal. It's a free meal.
It's a free meal. What I'm saying is, like, if you do like a family meal, like you don't, you know, a lot of times in restaurants, you know, you'll take your banquet stuff and you'll reheat it or turn it into something else.
Okay.
And of course, you know, as
so you're eating out chafing dishes. Or like
yeah, like when I was on the Jacks, you know, it was a large crew on the Jacks.
Oh,
was that
them,
we had to feed them every
riverboat
day.
Gambling
yeah.
trip that you're on.
Yeah. And we had to feed them every day, we were sitting there, and like my one, I'd pass the meal around. One of the cooks would do it, you know. But, you know, somebody would always complain, like, oh, great, we're having this again. You know, and I'm just like, it's like, you know, we could feed you steak. If we fed you steak every day, you would complain. You know?
Eventually you get sick of steak.
You'd be like, man, steak again? Jesus.
Can a motherfucker get some fish up in here?
Yeah. Where's the chicken?
So you just point overboard. It's down there.
You're like, I'd never get tired of steak. And I'm like,
Yeah, you would.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah.
So let's cut the guys some slack, all right?
<You know? laughs> So, yeah, agree with that. And then I also thought about this. So, human beings, like, we're pretty short-lived. What do we live? 80 to 100 years,
if we're lucky. We don't get hit by a car or end up in a war.
Many other things. So, 100 years over the course of, you know, the creation of everything, really short fucking amount of time relative to the existence of everything. So human beings evolve really fucking slow. Yeah. The dumbest person in existence has to be able to competently do the thing before it's so ingrained in our being that it just sticks.
Right.
So if you imagine how long that would take for anything, it takes millions of years to fucking make some major changes. That's why you can look 500 years ago, and things were different. But things weren't that different. There was still a lot of the same base problems that we even have now. That's why you can read old literature and gain something from it, because otherwise we would be so advanced that we'd read this and be like, this is ridiculous. These people were morons. There's a little bit of that aspect, but not a lot.
But not a lot, comparatively.
So... we evolve so fucking slow, and the dumbest person, like I said, has to be able to fucking do what you need to do before we can move on to the next thing. That takes for fucking ever.
Yeah.
So we just have to be comfortable with the fact, and it's hard to do because human beings are also, they have a lot of curiosity and ambition and shit like that, and we always want to fuck with shit. We can't leave shit alone.
Right.
We can't just leave alone. We got to fuck with it and figure out what it does and figure out if we can make it do something, or make it better, or fucking blow shit up, or whatever the fuck we want to do. So we can't leave shit well enough alone.
Like your eternal old uncle that just constantly tinkered with shit and never actually fixed anything.
So... zoom back again 500 years, and a lot of our... base societal changes happen really slowly, but there are huge differences. If we went back in time, you know, like on movies and stuff like that, to, you know, fucking like medieval time, it's It's going to be pretty different.
Yeah. We might not make it that long because probably as soon as we showed up, we're going to get smallpox and die.
Yeah.
You know? Like, yeah. Here I am. I'm here. Oh, yeah. There's no cure for that.
Papa, the portal, and I'm going to immediately shit myself from dysentery. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, there's no cure for that here now. Penicillin? We don't know what that is. You got some moldy bread?
They're going to look at me and be like, you're 35? I'm like, holy fuck, you're old. Then they're going to look at you and be like, are you a wizard?
He makes flame without tinder.
Then we'll own that entire fucking area.
Yeah, it's like, I am God.
Bring me your vittles.
Wasn't that the, what was that movie? The Gods Are Crazy, where like the native tribe like found the Coke bottle and worshipped the Coke bottle.
funny stuff. But there is, So my thought from all the slow-moving evolutionary changes, all of our changes mostly are technological.
Yeah.
So you gotta think, you know, it's fucking 2001, tinkerers. The monkey with the bone. From that, you know, it's a lot of technological advances. That's why 500 years before us is so fucking different.
Yeah.
It's not really that the way our societies run in a very core aspect is any different. It's that there's all these technological changes stacked on top of it, so it looks really different. And it is. It is very different, but at the same time, it's like we want to, like, we're going to fix war, and we're going to fix racism, and we're going to fix... Like, look, you have to fucking understand that you can't just skip steps and step into this utopian society, because it's all just going to be a house of cards and a fucking tornado that's going to fucking get blown away instantly. Yeah. And then you're going to look at the rest of the world like it happened to you.
Yeah. But, I guess we can take a break here.
Yeah, we'll take a break.
Take a little break here. We'll get back, find some Motorhead here.
More Motorhead.
Some Motorhead. We got Ziki and I'll Be Your Sister coming up. This is from the... the Motorhead tribute record. See what we got going on here. They are doing I'll Be Your Sister.
Taurus is good.
Yeah, not too bad. But if it's on the tribute album, it better be good, huh?
Better be.
We'll be back.